Well, good morning. Welcome to all, especially our guests who join us here this morning for the offering of this Mass on this fifth Sunday of the Easter season. Many of our children in the youth choir, in the children's choir, sang last night at St. Joseph's Monastery. So thank you to them, to John Grixon, and also the families that from the Madeleine went to support them. I saw some of the sisters from that community yesterday at a luncheon we had for all the women religious in the diocese. They were extremely excited that the children are going to come and sing, and I hear good things that come of it. So we were kind of a light crowd last night for the Mass, because of that, and we'll see what happens at 10. Now, as you heard in the announcements, Becky Grossman, who's been our pastoral life coordinator for 16 years, is retiring, and she is moving out of state. So next Saturday evening, after the Mass, we're having a special reception for her as a way of thanking her for her service to us for so many years and in so many ways. We've been in the process of interviewing candidates for that position, and I and the search committee interviewed six candidates, all who have very good skills that they're bringing to wanting to bring to us, but we can only hire one. And the one that's been offered the position and accepted is Jennifer Murley. And she is a member, she and her family members are a parish for a number of years, and so she will begin on Monday and will be shadowing Becky for this coming week. And so she's going to be stepping in that role. So we're very happy that we had so many people wanting to have the positions. Better perhaps to have that than to have to beg people to apply for a job. But my thanks to all who applied for the position, for their interest in wanting to serve us here at the Madeleine. This coming week, we will observe, our neighbors will particularly, two sad anniversaries. Tomorrow is the first anniversary of the EF5 tornado that devastated Moore, Oklahoma, just south of Oklahoma City. Over 1,000 buildings destroyed or heavily damaged, 24 dead, particularly the children in the elementary school. And this coming Thursday is the third anniversary of the EF5 tornado that hit Joplin, Missouri. Over 2,000 buildings destroyed, 158 dead in that devastation. So this is a week of prayer and remembrance for our neighbors. Now, if you remember in the devastation in Joplin, some of the pictures that came out of that devastated landscape, one of them that I remember pretty well was a picture of a cross. That was about the only thing that was left on the skyline. That was from the steeple, or what was left of it, of St. Michael's Catholic Church in Joplin. The entire church, the rectory, and the school were destroyed. The cross was the only thing that was left standing. The priest of the parish survived the devastation by climbing into the bathtub and having a mattress over him. And as what's happening in Moore is also happening in Joplin, the process of rebuilding, starting over. And in the process there in Joplin of rebuilding St. Michael's, the church and the school and the rectory. And particularly with the church, I've no doubt that they'll be making a beautiful space, a place of sacred worship, a place where people come to pray, to adore, to come for praise, to be healed spiritually, and to where they come to encounter the risen Christ. So we pray for our brothers and sisters there in their endeavor to rebuild their place of worship. Because a place of worship should be that kind of a place that is beautiful, that a place that people come to encounter God, a place in which they come to seek forgiveness and to encounter the living God. We're told that the temple in Jerusalem was such a place, a magnificent structure that would have been considered one of the great wonders of the ancient world. Built with great beauty of the polished stones, adorned with gold leaf and with jewels, that when the sun shone upon it in the morning, they said apparently you could see it for miles away. It was not just a beautiful building, it was for the Jewish people where heaven and earth intersected, where God was truly present, where they would come to pray, to offer their sacrifice, their worship, where they come for repentance and to be forgiven. And not just the building itself, but the surrounding complex, a great thing of great beauty, and also that great place of prayer. Because it also was supposed to be a mirror image of heaven itself. That building is not there anymore. Less than 40 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, The Jewish people rise up in armed revolt against the Romans. In a war that lasts for 3 years, the Romans, with their customary brutality, suppress the rebellion. In the process, the city of Jerusalem is, most of it is destroyed. And the temple, this great place of worship where heaven and earth intersect, is left a pile of smoldering ruins. No stone left upon the other. It has not been rebuilt in almost 2,000 years since. What stands there now is one of the sacred shrines of Islam, the Dome of the Rock. There are some people today who want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Some Christians, out of an idea of biblical prophecy, that has to happen for Jesus to return. I think that would be bad for two reasons. One, if you were to tamper with this place that is a shrine to Islam, you are going to make about 1 billion plus Muslims in the world extremely upset, and for good reason. Reason number two, I think even more important, is that what we hear in the scriptures today, there's no need to build a new temple. St. Peter the Apostle tells us that as the church, that we are the living stone of a new place of worship. A place that is not restricted to a geographical location, but rather whenever those living stones, the living church, the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, gathers in prayer, in worship, in adoration, to offer spiritual sacrifice, to seek healing, mercy, and forgiveness, there heaven and earth intersect. That we are called to be those living stones, that chosen people, that royal and holy priesthood that God has called together. And that spiritual sacrifice is offered to God through Jesus Christ. We are called to be that people. In this time following Easter that we've been prepared for Lent, and on Easter Sunday we renewed the promises of our baptism. Now we're hearing especially in the gospel readings, about how to live out that baptism. So we've heard about Jesus recognizing him in the breaking of the bread, that Jesus walks with us in our daily life, that the Good Shepherd calls us by name, and now to see that we are the living stones of the living church. The church is not a museum piece. The church is not an anachronism. It is a living, breathing body of Christ. And what is to adorn us, or our works of faith, but to decorate the beauty of who we are as the church. You know, it's this wonderful time of the year as a parish priest with all the baptisms, first communions, graduations, and so on. I've been asked to bless sacramentals, the crucifixes, the religious medals, and so on. All that's well and good. Remember, the sacramentals are a sign to us of our faith, but we have to be living out of that faith. We're hearing also at the Sunday Mass from the Acts of the Apostles, the life of the first Christians after the resurrection. And we're told today about the first seven deacons that are called to serve the church in Jerusalem. We're also told, interesting how it puts it, that even a large number of priests were obedient to the faith. That's nice to know. But of course, we're not talking about the Catholic priests. We're talking about the Jewish priests in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, they were the ones that were designated to offer sacrifice on the behalf of the people. And what they're recognizing, and by this time the temple is still standing, that the sacrifice of the blood of animals, which is done in the altar in the temple in Jerusalem, that's no longer necessary. It's by the blood of Jesus on the cross and by his resurrection. There we are justified in faith. They are coming to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as he tells us in this gospel reading today. Jesus in that long discourse in the Gospel of John in the context of the Lord's Supper. The way, the truth, and the life. We're the living stones of the living church. What should adorn us is our acts of praise and of worship, particularly as we come together as the body of Christ from one Sunday to the next, from one holy day to the next, in a beautiful place such as this, to offer our thanksgiving in the sacrifice of the Mass, to encounter the risen Christ in the Eucharist and in the Word and one another, but also to be living stones in which we are a people known as a people of prayer, a people of worship, a people who offer praise, a people that recognize the need for repentance, a people who are forgiving, a people who show for compassion and mercy. That's our adornment of this living temple, the body of Christ, the living church. And sometimes we have to realize that when we're going to go do this, it's not a private matter. We take this out to others. Because the whole purpose of the temple in Jerusalem is to draw all the world to encounter the living God. And our purpose as the church is to do the same, that the entire world encounters the risen Christ through us. And we have to realize when we do that, there are going to be some that will reject it. There will be mockery. And there will be anger. There will be fear. But also, our beauty is shown, should be shown in how we react to that. You know, last Sunday I mentioned about what was supposed to happen at Harvard University of Massachusetts last Monday evening. There was a student group that was going to sponsor a group coming in to what was called, to do what a reenactment was called a black mass. And the black mass is the 19th century pseudo-ritual by Satanists in which they desecrate a consecrated host in mockery of our worship as Catholics. Now, the group that was coming into Harvard said, well, we're not going to use a consecrated host because we don't believe in all that business anyway. But there was a great outcry. And what happened at the last minute, the student group withdrew their support, and apparently this thing didn't take place. But the response was very interesting, and there was no threats. No threats of violence. Rather, there was prayer. Monday night in Cambridge, Massachusetts, there was an adoration of the Blessed Sacrament with a procession. An estimated 2,000 people crammed the church. When was the last time you went to adoration and there were that many people? If you look online, the pictures, a lot of young people. The response to what was going on was that of prayer. That of passionate outrage, but peaceful. And also it was backed up by 60,000 signatures to the president of Harvard. Wonder how many major donors were on that list. But when we encounter resistance, when we encounter those who mock us, let us respond as people responded at Harvard this last week. Not with anger, not with fear, but with prayer. With peace. Let that be also the works that adorn us as this living body of Christ, the living stones come together to offer our praise and worship and to bring all the world to Christ.